Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicle. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave! Dave smells like nougat! Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
All right, welcome to the Chronic Podcast. As always, we're sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge. You can go there tomorrow and watch LSU complete the two and barbecue in Omaha. You can watch the Astros continue to kick all sorts of ass. And LSU football and Saints football is right around the corner. They have a menu. They have fucking beer out the wazoo. They have a 50-foot TV. Go there, the Pelican House. They're awesome. They support us, so you should support them.
Yeah, Ralph, last time I asked you to text me updates on a team that I root for ever again.
Dude, Andrew texted me yesterday. He's like, I got a family function, a work function. Dude, can you hook me up with text about the LSU update? Updates. I'm like, sure. So I'm like texting him updates pretty regularly. Then it got to be 6-1, and I think I texted Andrew. Let's see. 6-1. Update suspended until good news. Just drink. And that was the end of my LSU updates for Andrew. I felt like I was live tweeting a natural disaster to him. So anyway, we're joined by Mel.
Home and deleted that off the DVR.
DVR delete. Yeah, it was a fucking just a disaster. So we got Held with us too, and Dave is mending to his children and his sugar addiction. Look, the only Saints news we have is they signed Kevin Williams, who's like 35 and a fat defensive tackle, but those kind of age pretty well. So Andrew, give us the skinny on this move, and then I want to talk to some bigger points, but the overall thoughts on Kevin Williams signing.
Well, I think when we talk about, and we experience this with Champ Bailey, the Saints have made it pretty clear, we're not going to just give you a roster spot because of who you've been. So in other words, not only does he kind of have to get through camp, he's got to get through camp healthy and show the Saints in preseason, I still kind of have it, and I can actually help your team. And as long as you can do that, I think you'll make the roster. But I think that's the big question. You know, if he's one of those aging veterans who just thinks, oh, yeah, I can skip a few weeks with this minor ankle thing and just be day-to-day for a while and kind of skirt through camp, and they'll just keep me around because I'm Kevin Williams. Clearly that didn't work for Champ Bailey, so it's not going to work. So, and guys that old, that's the one thing, is can they get through camp healthy? Yeah. Thing. It's harder when you're older, so I don't know, we'll see.
Kevin, you're sort of my partner in crime for nonsense, but I was thinking of this over the weekend, the Saints made a bunch of big moves in the offseason, but, of all the moves they made, the most important one was they signed Champ Bailey, and they drafted Stanley Jean-Baptiste, and they both were duds, and their cornerback situation was a dumpster fire all year, and it sort of tanked their season. I would argue that if Champ Bailey just had been bad NFL quality, the Saints probably would have won the South. And my feeling on this Kevin Williams move, Kevin, is kind of that it's sneaky important in that I look at their run defense that's crappy and their interior defensive tackles and linebackers, and it's kind of like, what the fuck's going to be going on there? Of all the things, I'm worried about that. What do you see in the Kevin Williams moving overall that, you think might be an off-season move or something that really needs to work out that people aren't talking about?
Well, I'm glad you at least prefaced this by saying nonsense, because I'm literally just about to spout just fucking nonsense here. Yeah, run, I mean, all I'm gonna do is just echo you, man. I mean, the run defense has been crap, and maybe I'm being too harsh. I probably am. I'm sure somebody.
No, you're not. Those home games, man, against Cincinnati and Baltimore and Carolina, those were dreadful, man. I know it's a long way in the rear view, man. But just because you forgot about it doesn't mean that it wasn't terrible.
I have a propensity to kind of forget the real shitty things.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, you want to sign an aging veteran. You know, we've been burned before, very recently, with the whole Champ Bailey thing, and that kind of like cost the team. I mean, didn't that cost the team like cap wise?
Did it, Andrew? I don't know if that.
Which one?
Champ Bailey. Not really. I mean,
it was like a 2-year, $5 million deal. I mean, it didn't break the bank, and obviously, if it cut them, they didn't have to pay him any of year two, so it wasn't awful.
Okay. I mean, I think they gave him like $500,000 though to sign.
Yeah.
I mean,
he got a little money.
But I guess I just look at it like, so best case scenario, he comes in, he's serviceable, and, you know, like he's a quality body, and the Saints can actually rest the guys that they want to actually start, like their main starters. Worst case scenario, he gets cut before the season starts, and so, like, what are the Saints out aside from money, like the opportunity to really pay attention to other guys?
I mean, but the thing is, Kevin, and now as the mediocre host I am, I think I can rephrase this better. I guess. We said the exact same thing about Champ Bailey last offseason, but in reality, the truth was that really, really needed to work out. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
My fear is like, you got, you know, Andrew, you got Bunkley, he's old and injured. You got Kevin Williams, he's old. What happens if Bunkley's not any good, Williams is old and fat? You know, this rookie that they got, I forget his name.
John Jenkins, dude. Don't forget him.
Jenkins. You know, like, I mean, like, I feel like it's really vulnerable. And maybe, you know, are we going to look back if the Saints go 7-9 again and miss the playoffs? Are we going to be like, man, that Kevin Williams, we really needed that fat old son of a bitch to squeeze one more decent year out of him?
Well, you know, I brought this up on Twitter, I think, with you. And, you know, I think if that flops, we'll look back at the Danny Shelton draft and how the Saints were one pick away from getting him, and Sean Payton all but admitted that he was the guy they would have taken if he was available at that spot, and they missed out on him, and that makes you look all the way back to the Tampa game in Week 17 where the Saints were kind of dead to rights. Tampa shut
Marcus
it down.
Marcus Colston's fault.
Yep, and you know the Saints could have shut it down too and lost that game, just like Tampa did. But they decided to make the old college effort, come back and win the game, and it cost them several spots. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But you know, going back to your original question of what has to work out, I think defensively they'll be better. I mean, it's going to be tough for them to be much worse. So I think things are looking up for me. What has to work out is Max Unger and Andres Pete. I think those two in particular, the Saints have decided, you know what, we're going to get rid of Kenny Stills. We're going to get rid of Jimmy Graham. We're going to count on Spiller, and we hope Spiller works out, of course. But for me, the Saints have a good stable of backs. They have less playmakers than before. They really need, if Drew Brees stands any chance in the twilight of his career to kind of have a little bit of a revival, it needs to be with the play up front, giving him time, helping him with the running game and everything. And, you know, I'll point to two examples, Ralph, real quick. You look at Ben Roethlisberger, who's just coming off maybe the best season of his career, and Tony Romo, who also, I think, his rating in 2014 was, I think, number 6 all time. For a single season. And you look at both of those guys, and what do they have in common? Le'Veon Bell and DeMarco Murray were their running backs, and the offensive lines played very well, and the running game was elite for them. And it completely revived their career, and you're talking about guys in their mid-30s that are playing their best football. And so I don't think it's impossible to see that happen with Breeze, where you know, if this offensive line puts it together and Mark Ingram can maybe get in that category, not even just Ingram on his own, but the Saints running game combined, puts up numbers like those guys, then I think Breece can return regardless of who the playmakers are. So for me, it's up front. It's Pete and Unger. They have to be awesome.
Kevin, the Saints may or may not, it's looking like they're going to have a kicking competition between two kickers that me and you would be hard-pressed to name right now without internet access. So, but my theory is the Saints have decided to let the, it's like at a job where they let the intern be the front desk person, and if it works out badly, they'll call the temp agency and hire a professional. Like, Shane Graham would be like the temp agency if the kicking situation goes bad, or another veteran. So my question to you is, over, under on the Saints signing a veteran kicker, whoever that may be, your veteran kicker of choice, over, under on the Saints signing a veteran kicker is at a half in Vegas. So do you think the Saints, by week four, we'll have one of these rookies, we can't name, or they're going to have a veteran kicker?
By week four? No, I'll take the over on that.
Do you think they'll have a veteran kicker?
No. If you're saying by week four, whoever that rookie is going to get replaced, I say no. If they're going to replace the rookie, they would do it later.
Yeah.
Because that just seems to be, like, even more so than the linebacker situation, the kicker situation, that just seems to be the big sticking point, like the big blemish on the Sean Payton era. So why not? I mean, why wouldn't they ride a kicker, like, especially a young guy? Like, you can just say, oh, you know, he's a rookie, jitters, grow into it, all that kind of shit. And then maybe by, like, week eight, that I could see them bringing in an older person.
Yeah.
When Garrett Hartley was screwing up, when did they bring in old man John Carney?
Depends on the year. That happened several times.
This time, though, I really feel like, well, you never know, though. I mean, it just, you know, because they yanked around Shane Graham last year a bunch, didn't you know? They cut him, and then they went a long time without having an actual kicker. It could be weird. I mean, Andrew, I guess the final point in the kicker is I feel like the Saints, they're not going to be like 2009 level or 2011 level good. They're not, I don't even know if they're going to be 2013 level good. So they can't afford to gag away games, because if they gag away two games by the kicker, that doesn't bump them from like 11-5 to like 9-7, 10-6. It might bump them from like 10-6 to like 8-8, 9-7 or 8-8, 7-9. So like they've got, like, this has got to be right. If they can't work out the kinks with the kicker, is what I'm saying. They don't have the roster.
You look at the loss of Jimmy Graham too. I mean, he was such a go-to red zone playbook guy. You take him out of your offense, and in my opinion, more drives are just going to stall by sheer function of not having your go-to red zone option. And you know, any fan that's listening to me and is disagreeing with that, I mean, the only stat you have to point to is the number of touchdowns that Jimmy Graham scores every year. You've got to replace that. Yeah, you got to replace that somehow. And so, I think at the end of the day, right now, these guys are both on a short leash immediately. And I think it could be preseason. It could be at the end of preseason. It could be in week two. I think there's a microscope on these guys at all times, specifically because they're young. And we know that Sean Payton already doesn't trust kickers in general. He hasn't trusted the veteran kickers with high accuracy ratings, including Shane Graham. So we know he doesn't trust these nobodies that haven't accomplished anything in the league yet. So I think right now they're letting two young kids battle it out just to kind of see what happens, knowing that, hey, we can always get a veteran guy like a Shane Graham for cheap if we need to.
Yeah,
we've done that with Carney, Casey, and Shane Graham
success. It wouldn't shock me with the way Sean Payton is with a leash, Kevin, if these two kickers say, you know, Andrew goes to the green bar and he's like, man, these kickers aren't that good, and they get into the preseason games and they struggle. It wouldn't surprise me at, like, week three of the preseason, they're like, oh, sign Shane Graham. Break glass, veteran kicker. Here he is.
Yep.
All right. I don't know.
Yeah, I still think week one there's still probably a 20% chance that Shane Graham's the kicker.
Interesting. All right. Well, there's no other Saints news. We got Twitter questions. We'll get to that. Kevin, we need a romance update. That fine young lady that you had on this podcast. Are you on the road to matrimony?
No, I am not on the road to matrimony. The train bridge was blown up earlier today.
Oh no!
It's okay. Aww. It's okay. She texted me. She's like, "Can I come over? We need to talk." And again, whenever they say that we need to talk, it's one of two things: either we need to break up, or I'm pregnant. And so I would always rather.
Or I want to be your girlfriend. I mean, that was another option, right?
No. She this was a situation where she was gonna be moving out of the area in like a couple of months, and she
couldn't have all of hell. She didn't just want a piece of hell. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think she just realized that. I think maybe she realized that she was being selfish. By maybe trying to take too much of hell. All while she's going to leave in 2 months anyway, so she just decided to just let me back into the wild.
Yeah. Let you back into the wild.
Yeah, so to speak.
That's me. If I had a sad...
So you're rebooting the old OkCupid profile, right, as we speak?
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Dusting off the cobs.
As of about, yeah.
I think...
After she left.
Do they have a dating website for amateur wrestlers?
No,
I think that'd be in your like wheelhouse, but the prospects on that website would probably be pretty slim. But
yeah,
I couldn't believe when I saw a commercial for Farmers Only that the first time I saw that it wasn't a joke.
So wrestlers only.
Yeah, okay. wrestlersonly.com. Come on.
Top.
No. You see, there's an expense. There's an expression though. There's an expression though for ladies that want to get that want to hook up with wrestlers for the sole purpose of the fact that they're wrestlers. They're called ring rats. And it's not.
That sounds horrible. That sounds like something that a pet gets. It's like, man, how's your dog? Yeah. He got ring rats, and he's not doing well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because a lot of the females. That a lot, not all, but a lot, are not that pleasant to either look at or to be around in general. Or
get you back six, ten, with seven ring rats just wrapped around him.
Dude,
on a scale of 1 to 10, like your average ring rat, what do they rank? Like a 2.5.
Well, okay, but you see, ring rats. Okay, it's one thing if I'm talking audience and ring rats. Like ring rats can range from like bottom end to high end, but the high end is just like not really that doesn't exist. Like you're talking like you might as well just dream
like
or imagine.
Like a six is like the ring, like would be like the queen of the ring rats.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I tell you this, a St. Louis six would be the queen of the ring rats.
Oh my goodness. That is derogatory. If there was one,
that's like a New Orleans 3.5.
Ooh. All right. We have the very limited Twitter questions, so I'll get to them. This is from Tanaka. He asks, Andrew, most likely to happen in the next 3 years, Breeze is still the quarterback or Vaccaro makes a Pro Bowl? Is Andrew left us?
Andrew? No, I'm here. Sorry, I cut off for a second there.
Are you pondering or you need me to repeat the question?
No, reread the question, please.
Most likely to happen in the next three years, Drew Breeze is still the quarterback or Vaccaro makes a Pro Bowl?
Drew Brees still the quarterback.
Kevin, you want to take a shot?
Agreed.
I feel like Vaccaro.
My confidence on Vaccaro until further notice
is low.
Severely damaged.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hopeful he can return, but that was bad last year.
All right, Kevin, 90 seconds for you on the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, for our 6 wrestling fans. Go.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard times, Daddy. like, I mean, he's probably top four promo guy of all time. I mean, off the top of my head, I put him up there top three with Randy Savage and Ric Flair. And woo! I have gotten caught in the last few days, gotten caught in the wormhole of Dusty Rhodes promos on YouTube, from the Hard Times promo, which is an all-timer, to the Cold-Blooded Sausage Maker promo, which makes no sense whatsoever, and yet it's brilliant. And then actually, the View Never Changes promo that he cut to his son back in 92 when he was, or 93, 94, when he was barely still wrestling, that's phenomenal. And then even after all of his wrestling work, shut up, even after all of his wrestling work, he ended up becoming a tremendous announcer. And I don't mean tremendous like Jim Ross tremendous. I mean tremendous in the, oh my God, this guy is just saying the most ridiculous, hilarious shit. Like, he just would let that southern drawl and like exuberance just go through on everything. The match would be a match could be terrible, involving wrestlers that are garbage on television, and he would just—he'd say things
sell
like,
it.
"Oh, he clubbering him. Oh, he's going into the ring for some plunder," or Big Boss Man's wrestling. He goes out into the crowd and grabs a bicycle, and Dusty Rhodes goes ape shit. He's like, "He got a bicycle! He got a bicycle! You got to find those online."
I can't go into the wrestling world. Man, Kevin, when I go into the Roddy Piper wormhole, I never come out. You can't do it. You half your day at work just disappears.
Right.
But
you know that reminds me of, it sounds like, buddy, yeah, awful Saints game. You know, we would always be like, I can't wait to hear what Buddy has to say.
But that's kind of like, if you're like, that is what a kind of the heart and soul of like a great wrestling promo. Like you, like that's it. That's,
absolutely.
It's just, you know, it doesn't have to make sense. It's more of like just a emotional, just, I don't know. And I'm not even as hardcore at wrestling people as Kevin, obviously, and other people the other 6 people that listen to this podcast, but a great wrestling promo is part like comedy and bravado and like a little sprinkle of insanity, and it just, that's what makes it magic.
And tacking on to that, like, you talk about it doesn't always have to make sense, and it doesn't, but you listen to a promo from like the Ultimate Warrior, like his coked out rage, like put the fuel into the rocket ship and push the controls down and all that. That's insane and makes utterly no sense.
But it makes sense for him, though.
But it's captivating as hell because he believes every single word he's saying, and it makes complete sense to him. Yet when you listen to Dusty Rhodes, like, say, reach out and grab my hand, and my hand is touching your hand, and you gave me this love, and I'm going to pay it back, you're like, holy shit, Dusty Rhodes and me are going to fucking beat Ric Flair and take the NWA world title. And it's like, I mean, that big son of a bitch, he was uplifting. He was uplifting in a way that, like, when Hulk Hogan would uplift you with his, you know, what you going to do stuff, it was utter ridiculous. But you believed it just because he looked like a fucking Greek god. And Dusty Rhodes just looked like any schmuck off the fucking street, but he didn't sound like any schmuck off the street.
Yeah. Side note, to wrap up the wrestling thing, fun note, Hulk Hogan may destroy the entire Gawker network as they have his sex tape, and he is suing them for like $300 million. And so, like,
I thought that got taken care of.
No, it's still going on, man. It's still going on. Like Deadspin and Jezebel and Gawker. And Hulk Hogan may destroy that whole time suck at work for people. All right. More questions. Let's see here. Will you pump in noise when Dave's call drops? No, we don't. We're not the Falcons here. We don't pump in crowd noise. All right. This is a fun question. Andrew, you start. From Kyra 16, worst date idea you ever had?
I mean, I feel like this is tailor-made for Kevin.
I haven't been on a date.
I mean, you know, I've been married for 6 years now. I was with my wife for 3 years before that.
I got a good one. And it was a great idea, and it worked. It got me married.
Okay. All right.
For Hurricane Ike, I called up my wife, and I said, why don't you come over? It was a second date. I said, hey, why don't you come over, since you don't have power, and use my refrigerator to get ice for your family? Huh?
Barks.
It worked. 7 years Mark. Later, man, works like a charm.
I'm not topping that.
Offered AC and ice, and she took it.
You know what you should have done as soon as she came over was cut the power, and she has to stay, right?
No, her car probably had a full tank of gas. All right, Kevin, better gut, Rob Ryan or Kevin Owens?
I'm going to go Rob Ryan on this because Rob Ryan actually has more of a pronounced gut. Like Kevin Owens he used to have a bigger gut, but he's slimmed up. Like he looks like a solid, just big belly dude. So I'm still going Rob Ryan on that. Rob Ryan actually has girth to him. Girth. That's such a great word.
Andrew, over under on a three-way cage match on a three-way cage match to the death on the Saints sideline between Sean Payton, Rob Ryan, and Dennis Allen. Week four.
Dennis Allen would die first because Rob Ryan would just eat him. but I feel like Sean Payton, you know, when he gives you the death stare, it's kind of like Medusa. He can turn you to stone. So I think he just said, you know, I remember when Sean Payton used to poke, either Charles Brown or German Buchrodt, maybe it was Jamal Brown, actually. He used to poke him in the chest,
yeah.
And Jamal Brown would give him this look like he was about to slug him, and you know, Sean Payton's like a foot shorter than Jamal Brown, and yet Sean Payton just keeps doing it, keeps antagonizing him, and I'm just like, how can you do this to this guy and not be afraid to get hit? But I don't know. I feel like Sean Payton likes to bully guys bigger than him. So
well, Sean Payton, he's got the crazy eyes and the rock hard nipples, and it's just very disconcerting, I would imagine, if you're a player.
It is. He's intimidating, man. Right. Look at these reporters; they're terrified of him.
No, dude. He owns the New Orleans media. Just that lock, stock, and barrel. Nobody even. He's like a bear that people they're even afraid to like. Be in the room with him, but Kevin.
Well, the thing about his press conferences is you never know what's going to set him off either.
No, it could be like a very like innocent like question, and he'll just run. He's kind of like that. That's his thing where he's a lot like Parcells. Like he'll either take it. It can either set him off, or he can take it and he can use it to like deliver a message to his team. So. He's a lot like Parcells like that. But, Kevin, this is from Brian, who's doing a podcast on Saints Nation. He says, who from your podcast can be bribed to be a guest on ours?
I mean, isn't Juge on that podcast? So doesn't that already count?
I mean, I'm not, but I don't need to be. I could probably just be asked nicely.
No, well, you could do like Dave. You could do like any like Reese's Pieces or like Gummy Worms. You know, Kevin. You could probably like a nice pair of used wrestling tights. For me, like
those get pretty tight. Those get pretty pricey.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like I'm having a kid in December, so like you could. Buy me like a case of diapers.
Some diapers, yeah.
Yeah, like I mean, you know, or like.
If you buy Ralph a bionic arm, you get it for a year.
Oh, dude, I would.
Podcasting.
Dude, speaking of that, like I had to put together a pack and play this weekend. Jesus Christ, that thing kicked my ass. And oh, by the way, Greco or whatever the fuck your name is, you people have the worst social media on earth and the worst instruction videos on earth combined with your horrible instruction manual.
Yeah, pack and plays are brutal.
Yeah, like they had a person that they I forget their name, but they had they're like, screw Greco, this is how you put their pack and play together. And like after I found that video, like I was able to put it together in like 30 minutes. It wasn't hard like that video, but just they're brutal, and I'd imagine I haven't even taken it apart and tried to pack it up. I'd imagine the pack part is just like death.
Well, the only advice I can give you about preparing for a child is don't, under any circumstance, get suckered into a painting project, whether it's painting a room, painting a piece of furniture in the baby room. Just don't do it.
No painting. That's Andrew's
advice. No painting. No.
No
painting.
Don't
do it. Because your wife is pregnant, her back's going to hurt. She's not going to want to do it. You're going to be stuck doing all the painting. You're going to hate it. It's going to be awful. You're not going to do a good job.
Oh, I know I wouldn't do a good job painting. My wife, she's nodding vigorously. She's like, oh, yeah, you don't want to. She wouldn't trust me with a paintbrush in my hand.
If you really need, you know, the what do you call the baby room? I'm blanking on the word. For
the nursery?
The nursery. Yeah, the nursery. So if you really need to paint the nursery, just hire someone. Just pay whatever it costs and stay out of it.
I think that's pretty much all of our questions, Amber, because that means we're going to wrap up in 30 minutes. Kevin, final question for you. Give us an update on your wrestling career in St. Louis. I see you posting videos and whatnot, talking smack to people.
Yeah, I wrestled on Saturday, and you can watch the entire video. The entire video is 7.5 minutes long. The match itself is about 4.5. I got on the mic, cut a nice promo. The good guy came out the ring and whooped the shit out of me because I started talking trash about his family that was in attendance, and the crowd was actually screaming for my blood.
Which means you can audibly hear them.
Very successful. You can audibly hear them screaming, chanting, "We want blood, we want blood." And, yeah, good times.
So, like, after the match, like, when it goes like that, and you and the other, like, guy you just fought with, and it's over, and you're, like, backstage or whatever, do you like, compare notes, or is he like, that's awesome, you did a great job, blah, 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 or, like, do you, like, redo it and analyze it, like, watching film of a football game? How does that work?
I know I'm watching film of myself and just looking at ways how I can get better. That's about
it. Do I need to start doing wrestling grades?
Andrew, you should totally give him wrestling grades. Hell, Andrew, we rated Saints Superdome food last week. Why can't we break down Hell's wrestling?
What I want to know is, Kevin, do you think any of these fans or just people that go to the wrestling meets, do you think they've stumbled on this podcast?
I highly doubt it.
Have you gotten any hate tweets yet?
Hate tweets? Like about the wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's people. I mean, there are some people in there that are actually young enough to know what the hell a smartphone is and who actually have Twitter
And then it's only a matter of time before they find this podcast.
Yeah, it is.
I seriously doubt it. I seriously doubt it.
Well, that's a good way to end this podcast.
It would be amazing if somehow, just by sheer virtue of being what he is, the villain in this league, that Kevin inadvertently made everyone that attended these things detest the Saints. That he actually created more enemies for us.
That would be fantastic.
Well, they already do, because there was some jackass, not this month, but the last month, that was giving me shit. Because what I do is I now come to the ring. My wrestling trunks have Florida Lees all over them. I've got my Saints tattoo on me, and I wear my Saints hat to the ring. And so the guy started giving me shit about the Saints and Drew Brees, and I said, pal, let me know in a couple of years after, I can't remember how the hell I worded it, but basically it was, the Saints will still be in New Orleans in 2 years. That's it. That sorry sack of team, that sorry sack of shit franchise you guys have out in Earth City is going to be gone in Los Angeles.
No one in St. Louis gives a shit about football.
You'd be surprised. There's a small pocket of them that do, and they get ravenous.
Yeah. Well.
Well, the ones that attend Kevin's wrestling probably. Totally care about
apparently
football.
Do, yeah. Oh, yeah. They love telling you how great Kurt Warner was.
Oh, my God. Kurt, that's like, you know, 2009 is a long time ago. Fucking the Rams winning the Super Bowl is like, that might as well be World War II in the Twitter age. Seriously. I mean, 1999, man, in the age of Twitter and the smartphones, that might as well be 1945. I mean, you know.
Pretty much.
But, yeah, I mean, and that, you know, you can go to Saints Nation. Andrew, did you posted our rankings of the Superdome foods?
Yes, that was up today.
That was, yeah, go there. He ranks the Superdome foods. I make a cameo appearance and rate Dome Nachos. So, as you can see, it's June, so Juge is doing the serious tape breaking down an analysis that you would expect in the middle of June about football.
That's right.
Kevin,
you're building up your bravery to try the nachos again in September.
I am. You know what's sad, Andrew? There's like
you're willing to give it another chance.
There's like an 80% chance that first home game against Tampa that I'm going to get the nachos. Like and it's on me. It's on me, but I'll do it. And I'll be like, two nachos in, I'll be like, why did I do this? Why am I eating cardboard, dipping it in atomic yellow cheese, and eating jalapenos that may or may not be from 2011?
You know, I would love to sit next to Cariello for a game, just because we know he already has questionable eating habits.
Dude.
And just see him wreck his body for 3 hours.
I think we need to do that. Next time he's on, we need to go. We need to have him give us like his typical eating habits, either at the Saints game or just when he's watching a road game.
The funny thing
now
is,
do you think he just goes with seven orders of dipping dots?
That's
do you
that's
think
what
he just goes
say.
With seven
it's
orders of dipping
body.
Dots?
It's just like it's just two boxes of that.
No, see, I think he's probably just like he starts out with like the souvenir Saints soda with no ice, and like a dipping dot, and
Skittles.
Yeah, and then he goes then he probably goes like caramel corn. Then he probably mixes in like a hot dog to like cleanse the palate. And then he probably goes like another like milk. To, like I bet it's more varied than you think. You know?
And by the end of it, he's snorting Fun Dip.
Oh Lord.
Daiquiris only.
Yeah. So, snorting Fun Dip is the perfect way to end this podcast. So, go to Saints Nation and read the ridiculousness that that Andrew worked on and I contributed just a touch to. Kevin is on OKCupid.
Yes.
Again. Looking for love. And Dave is at Canal Street Chronicles, maybe working the Twitter account, maybe not. You never know. If it's really laughing at LSU baseball when they're losing, you know Dave is running it. So on that note, for Andrew, for Kevin, for Dave, who's not here, I'm Ralph. And until next week, be well.
You better not be dead, Jon Snow.